Blog Talk Radio.
The dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
Welcome to the Shadows
of the Night Zone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to
the Night Zone.
This is a live event.
There is nothing wrong with your computer.
There is nothing wrong with your audio
or your video.
We
are controlling transmission
for the next hour.
And we will control all that you hear.
Let me repeat. There is nothing wrong with your computer.
You are about to participate in a great adventure.
You are about to experience the awe and mystery
which reaches from the inner mind of the Night Zone.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only.
Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information,
the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts.
The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information.
You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host.
We remind all of our listeners,
KVADMTOR, ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Tonight, in the Night Zone, we present to you the Minnesota MUFON Field Investigation Coordinator, Mr. Craig Lang. Craig is a certified hypnotherapist and hypnotherapy instructor. His 10 years of work on UFO phenomenon can be found on his website at craiglang.com and numerous MUFON publications. Craig's recent work includes a new book entitled
The Cosmic Bridge,
and we'll be talking with Craig on The Cosmic Bridge a little later. So we'll be right back with Craig Lang from MUFON and The Cosmic Bridge right after this.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com.
In this part of Lincolnshire, the skyline is dotted with huge wind turbines, but today one of them isn't turning. People who live nearby say that it was hit by a UFO. Residents remember being woken in the early hours of Sunday morning by a huge crash. When the sun came up, one of the turbines was bent and broken.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. Stepping into the Night Zone with us tonight, of course, is Mr. Craig Lang. Now, Craig came to us a little while ago, actually in response, I believe it was a response to a Chris Holly story, wasn't it, Craig? Good evening and welcome to the Zone.
Well, actually, I got an email from you guys, but yeah, it was basically in response to I've done a number of online talk shows talking about my book and about a lot of the abduction events out there, and you guys contacted me.
Right, that's right, right. I know it was through the Chris Holly story. I believe the headline at the time was "What Are Aliens Waiting For?"
Oh yeah, right. Okay.
That was the connector, and and you was just saying, "Way to go! It's about time somebody looked at it in that manner." So, wearing your MUFON hat for a moment, Craig, have you experienced an increase in activity that's being reported recently?
Well, that's kind of it's ambiguous in a way. Like most of the phenomenon, it's pretty ambiguous, but one of the things I've noticed is that either people are remembering things more or things are happening more. It could easily be reporting bias and things like that, too. But one of the things that we noticed is that I'm closing up my laptop before I get mesmerized by my screensaver there. one of the things we've noticed is that there's been a big uptick in citing reports, citing, you know, field investigation reports, things like that. Over the last last year or so, there's been a big uptick in sightings.
Right, do they have a common thread to them, Craig, or are they all over the spectrum?
It seems like it's all over the gamut. A lot of the encounter events that I've looked into in the last year or so have all been very kind of classic, kind of the classic Hopkins-Jacobs type of, you know, the small grays, the medical examination, the reproductive medical experiment type stuff. That all seems to be pretty classic, and there seems to be more of that going on than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah. It does appear from the people that I've interviewed over the last year or so, there seems to be either more are being reported, or there are more systems, more availability to do the reporting. Our friends over at the FTTO UFO group, you can report your findings right online they do a quick form, and you fill out the quick form, and you know, and then investigators can check it out with you. So there's more of that, I think, happening on the internet, which makes for, I think, more sightings. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. How closely do those guys work with MUFON? I'm not really familiar with FTT UFO at all.
They have an incredible membership. Now, I can't attest to their membership. Ed Fleming is the owner manager over there, and. But I would not be at all surprised, because they're a phenomenal organization.
Yeah.
And their reports that they're working on constantly are very interesting indeed. So, you know, kudos to the FTT gang, and kudos to MUFON. Kudos to anybody that gets the information out, because I think that's what it's all about, is getting the information out.
Yeah, very much so.
Now,
this is wonderful. Go ahead.
No, I was going to get into your hypnotherapy sessions, and and do you find a resistance in people until they go through hypnotherapy?
It tends to range all. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir. You go ahead.
It tends to range all over the map. There's some people that kind of just remember things almost immediately. And it just falls out. It falls out of their mind. And, doesn't even really have to be in trance. They just remember everything right then and there. And they're perfectly willing to talk about it. The people who really come to see me as a healer are the people who have a lot of grief associated with it. And a lot of times it depends on what your reaction to the events are. And if you've read in my book, one of the things that I point out is that what you see and hear on the surface, what you think you know on the surface, really isn't necessarily what's really going on under the covers.
I agree. A lot of times I use smoke and mirrors. That's how I identify it. Smoke and
very
mirrors.
Very much. And so a lot of times the resistance. A lot of times people tend to push with one hand and pull with the other. A lot of people are very conflicted about this. There's a part of each person that wants very desperately to understand what's going on. And there's another part of that same person that really is terrified of the whole prospect. And I found that if there's a general rule, people are not of just one mind as far as getting to the bottom of their encounters.
Right. When a person involves themselves in hypnotherapy, does the information come out as the old cliche of opening a door, or is it a trickle which triggers memory? How does the whole system work in that respect?
I hate to be maddeningly ambiguous, but it depends. Some people just tend to, you know, you turn the key in the door, open the door, and, you know, it just pours out. And I've had a few people that, you know, I just kind of, you know, I put my hand over their eyes and say, you know, 3, 2, 1, go into trance now, and they're aboard the whatever, wherever they are. And other people, man, it's like pulling teeth to even get them to, even get them into the missing time at all.
Right. When you do manage to get to an issue of missing time, let's say, and the person goes through the events of what happened to them, when they come out of this, I'll say trance for the lack of a better word, when they come out of this being that they are in, do they have ramifications to that knowledge?
A lot of times people do. There's a lot of... one of the things I look at, you know, typically it's about 2 or 3 sessions that I work with people, and a lot of times, initially, we deal with the fear management, and then we deal with the, okay, let's go into deep regression now and figure out, you know, and just recount, put together the biography of what happened, and then finally, depends on the emotional content also. You know, each person, of course, is unique, but it depends on the emotional content. Does the person have a lot of emotion associated with it? Is it a problem in their life, or are they just curious? And
right.
9 times out of 10, it's just the person will come to their own conclusions, and the last thing I want to do is influence that. It's really their job to come up with their own conclusions.
Right. And when they have come up with those conclusions, is there an investigation or a subject line over the years that stands out in your mind that kind of rattled your psyche even?
Variety is the big one for me. What I've noted is, you know, a lot of people describe this very consistent theme of. You know, like David Jacobs talks about basically the alien invasion, kind of the stealthy invasion.
Right.
And Bud Hopkins tends to stress much more the genetic aspects of it. And it seems like each researcher seems to have a very most prevalent thing that they find. And to a large extent, I tend to have found things all over the map. You know, basically what I described in the Cosmic Bridge is a very broad brush summary of what I've seen or learned so far, but that's by no means absolute.
Right.
Things are all over the map.
I did notice in the Cosmic Bridge, and I was quite pleased to see that you give kudos where kudos are due, and you do use many. Futurists, if you will, to connect your theory of what's going on in this great big cosmos.
Yeah.
And I think that is very important to not have that snobbish belief that you have the only answer. Because I think we all have a piece of the puzzle. It's just that the puzzle master is the one that has to put it together.
The more you look at it, the more you realize how little that piece is, too.
Yeah. Yeah, there are so many things. We have a show coming up on universal energy, the universal power, which is going to be interesting. And we had Amy, a modern witch, on last year, who brought us the earth sciences, which were absolutely fabulous. I think we all have a piece of the answer, Craig. I really do. And you pose a few questions on your Cosmic Bridge website, and that's thecosmicbridge.com for those people
right.
out there. You pose a couple of questions which just blew me away until I read The Cosmic Bridge, where you unravel these major questions, such as who are these beings visiting us from the sky?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any take on who they possibly are or what they possibly are? Is there anything out of your 10 years?
Let me say, first of all, that I knew a heck of a lot more about this going into it than I know now. Is the one thing I will say is, you know, the more I learn, the less I know is kind of my little tagline, if you will.
Yeah, well, I can believe that.
One of the things that, the hypothesis that I offer is kind of a nature preserve metaphor, if you will. You know, I talk a lot about that in kind of chapter 8 and 9 of the Abridge, where I deal a lot with kind of the model of interaction. We don't really know where they're from. Simply put, we know so little about the actual reality behind the phenomenon. There's so many different theories about where they're from, what they are, who and what the visitors are, why they're here. You know, it's so ambiguous and right at this point, so up in the air, literally. So it's really almost impossible to really draw too much of a conclusion, frankly.
Well, we can pretty well establish that something, something intelligent is going on.
Oh yeah, they're real.
Yeah,
they're real. They're here, and they deeply affect the lives of each experiencer. And you can tell just in the descriptions of it's very, very consistent in a way, very diverse in another way, but very, very consistent in the narrative that people give of being taken aboard the visit, I'll call it the realm of the visitors, and these medical experiments are done, hybridization type stuff is done, and that's all really quite consistent in, I would say, 50-60% of the cases. And so it's very consistent. There's a real thing going on. We just don't understand what that real thing is.
Yeah, and as you say, the more we unravel it, the more complicated it gets. Craig, hang in there. We're going to do a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dig into why Earth.
The phone lines are open.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Or if you are a registered listener for the Night Zone webpage, click the blue chat button and join us in the virtual studio. From there, it is merely a click away.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVAD Mtor.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone.
We all have busy lives, and sometimes we just can't get to the computer when we want to. Sometimes programs schedule at a time and a place an event when we just can't be there. But never fear, Blog Talk Radio have figured an answer. Yep, you can go to any of your favorite radio shows on blogtalkradio.com and download their archives or their player, and voila, you have access to your favorite shows. It's as easy as that.
You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. 2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Find out what kind of a year 2012 will be, normal or prophetic, with Tim McHyde in the Night Zone.
To the shadows
of the Night Zone. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And you are in the Night Zone. We have with us tonight Craig Lang from thecosmicbridge.com. Now, Craig, every time we come back from a break, I feel like I should reinvest your credentials, but suffice it to say that over 10 years with MUFON puts you in a pretty good stead for the information that you bring with us on the Cosmic Bridge tonight. Why do you think whoever, whatever this is, Craig, why do you think they have chosen us? Why?
Well, let me give you my website again. It's craigrlang.com. You had craiglang.com. It's actually craigrlang.com.
My apologies.
No problem. Actually, either one will get you there, but Craig R. Lang will take you right there. But anyway, so basically, you're asking kind of why they are, or why I think they're here. Is that kind of, do I,
yeah,
the question?
Why
Earth?
Why Earth?
Well, let's go back to, like, at, say, about the time of 45, 47, kind of Roswell time frame.
Okay.
And about that time, well, Kenneth Arnold, things like that. And the number of sightings just shot way up back about that time. And it seems like it's more than just reporting bias. Basically, in the 40s and 50s, the number of UFO sightings just shot way up. And I don't think it's I don't think it takes a rocket scientist, so to speak, to conclude that it has a lot to do with where humanity was at that particular time.
As in the nuclear age.
We had just developed nuclear weapons. We were starting to go into space, and our technology had probably shot ahead maybe 100+ years in some areas, like nuclear, space travel, things like that. We had shot way ahead based on war. And we had also had the biggest war in human history at that particular moment. And so basically what that would tell me is that, you know, for any neighbors looking in on us, that would tell them that we are not particularly good neighbors.
Right.
And if I were the neighbors, I would be getting a little worried about that. You know, here you have these, it's like a two-year-old that finds a handgun. You know, it's like suddenly you realize these guys can do some damage. And so one possibility, and again, this is a hypothesis, I could be wrong. You know, and I'm sure I am to some extent. But when I look at just the dynamics of the phenomenon, it looks to me a lot like an effort to somehow covertly intervene to prevent these barbarian humans from spilling out into the galaxy, you know, carrying, you know, starships full of phasers and photon torpedoes or whatever, you know, and basically waging interstellar war wherever they go. And
right.
that's the nightmare scenario.
Okay, so much like the prime directive of the Trekkies.
I think Gene Roddenberry got that whole idea for the prime directive from somewhere, and I think, if I understand right, he was quite a reader of the Urantia book. You know, I could be wrong on that, but I think he got a lot of that from there. But he was also quite attuned to the UFO scene, and he apparently got a lot of his ideas for the Star Trek universe from the ufology world. So,
well, he did a heck of a job. I mean, that is almost the benchmark that people are trying to attain. I read recently where they've actually done some teletransportation of molecules.
Yeah.
And we're pretty excited about that.
Well, there's a really interesting story about how they came up with the teleporter. I think that's one for another time, but basically it was budget, you know, the Star Trek budget.
Right.
Couldn't afford to do the special effects, so they ended up doing a. So they decided to go with a teleporter instead, which is that's hilarious. But
isn't it amazing how you ended up with that, and now you have scientists that are trying to make it happen?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, that is pretty fascinating when you look at something like that. You know, from fiction. Well, who would have known that we would have laser guns and laser?
Yeah, really. Yeah. But at the same time, you look at, if there is a prime directive, it's probably a rather leaky one. Because, you know, more than, you know, again, we have to look at the variety of what's going on, or what people are describing. It seems like you can't really speak of the alien agenda singular. You know, there's multiple things going on, multiple agendas, you know,
and
different.
Apparently there are billions of inhabited worlds.
Yeah,
I would
not be surprised at that at all.
Yeah. And then, of course, you've got interdimensional issues,
yeah,
which is another ball of wax.
Yeah.
Now, when you are investigating some of the experiences that are brought to you, Craig, do you get a sense of a collective type of scientific, a broad spectrum of people, or is it a certain collective of people?
Oh, I've had living in the Minneapolis area with a pretty substantial New Age community, I get a lot of people who are in the New Age school of thought, but that's by no means universal. I've had people from all walks of life. I've had one person had a Q clearance, you know, basically real top energy type stuff, or nuclear type of clearances. A couple of people cleared the top secret. I've had several other people who were heavily, or a couple of real big business wheels. One person from NASA. I've had people all across, you know, the spectrum.
And is there any common thread at all with these people that you meet up with?
Just the fact that they seem to be all walks of life.
Yeah.
My belief is that the phenomenon pretty much affects 1% of the population, 0.5% to 1% of the population, all across the map, and I think it's all across all social strata. Yeah, I think it's more. Yeah, I think Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs have it kind of pegged there that it's more family line, kind of more genetic lineage than what the actual person station in life is at any given moment.
Now, I did have a young man send me an email a couple of weeks ago explaining his theory, which was fairly decent, that whatever these aliens are that are abducting people for experiments have a weak genetic code. And they require DNA genetic splices from man,
yeah,
to maintain their status quo in the cosmos. Now,
yeah,
I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's another theory. It's not, you know, it's not the one I'm broaching, but, you know, I have no idea. I certainly couldn't tell you that he's wrong. My sense, though, is that it's more of a, you know, I don't think it's as exploitive. As directly exploitive as that, my sense is that, you know, that if that were the case, my thought is that we would probably have been more directly subjugated, you know, long before this.
I would
We'd
think
be
so
basically
too.
Farm animals in a yard.
I would think so too, and unfortunately, mankind, being the creatures that we are, if something landed in Roswell and if there were creatures aboard Roswell. They were autopsied many, many times and a long time ago, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I cite that article. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was about to say, so reverse that, and you have creatures coming to Earth that don't understand human life as such, and they're doing their bit with us as they see fit.
Yeah. My sense is that, you know, and this is purely subjective, purely intuitive. You know, I don't have a lot of data to back this up. My sense is that there's multiple agendas going on here. I think there's probably, you know, I purely speculate, but there's probably some kind of an order of some kind trying to kind of keep order in things, you know, prevent things from getting out of hand. But at the same time, there's probably an exploitive element. It's kind of like, I would say, you know, like in the 1860s when the government was trying to restrain, you know, gold seekers from going into the Black Hills. You know, it's like ultimately they weren't able to maintain the quarantine, if you will. But at the same time, it keeps quite limited the amount of actual interference that goes on.
So do you think that there could be a race of people out there that are maintaining this order or attempting to maintain this order?
That's the sense I get from what people are saying, is that there tends to be an overall effort that I've been seeing, and again, I might be seeing faces in clouds, but it tends to be kind of an educational purpose. Or if you've read the last chapter, have you read the last chapter in Bridge?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I always read the last chapter first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. That's the you're just like me with mystery novels, huh? But the last, basically, I talk in the last two chapters about basically a multi-pronged agenda that seems to be going on. Essentially, preparation for contact, if you will. One of them is kind of an educational, if you will. And when I look at a lot of the evolution of people's relationships with a phenomenon, it tends to be this awakening process that seems to go on. As people become, or kind of, I'll use the term loosely, advance along their careers as abductees, there tends to be an awakening, and they tend to at some point realize that they have more control than they thought. And multiple people that I've worked with have realized this, that basically we live in a free will universe. We live in each person is a sentient being and has the right to their own destiny. And one of the things, an incredible amount of healing that goes on when people come to that conclusion. And I found that it almost immediately changes the dynamics of the phenomenon when that happens. All of a sudden, this totally exploitive nature of the phenomenon just seems to evaporate.
Right. Yeah. So, do you think Earth is ready? Do you think they could handle an open or overt alien contact? Do you think mankind is ready for that?
My sense is probably not.
Yeah.
Just from I look at. Right now, we are basically a divided feudal society. It'd be like what if the 20th century Americans were to come in contact with the 11th century Europeans?
Right.
Yeah, basically, we are roughly like, like 11th, maybe 14th century Europe in that sense. Basically, these little principalities waging war against each other. Maybe we're a little bit better than that in that we're transcending it to a certain extent, but at the same time, Earth is an armed camp, just waiting to go at each other's throat.
And if we can't go at each other's throat, we want to be able to go at somebody else.
Yeah, right,
I mean,
exactly.
Our basic concept is to let's talk a bit, and if that doesn't do any good, then beat you over the head with a stick.
Yeah, let's talk a bit, but while we're talking, I'm going to be going to be sharpening my sword.
Exactly. I did like in the Cosmic Bridge your primary mission, and I'll say the primary mission right now, Craig, and then we'll do a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into the meat and potatoes of the book. But Craig's book, the primary mission of this book and the core purpose is to help bring the world of humanity and that of the phenomenon, whatever it may be, into a positive balance, into a positive relationship. That it's that simple. And when you take that perspective,
seen UFO, had any lost time or abduction experiences? Looking for others like you?
FTTOUFO.
Finding the truth on UFOs. Type FTTOUFO on any search engine to view the FTTOUFO site, or www.fttoufo.com. Join Ed Fleming and his team in the forums and chat areas. Report your sightings via the internet. File sighting reports. View great articles on alien abductions and the world of UFOs. If you have witnessed UFO activity or had lost time incidents or maybe an abduction experience, share your stories with others like you. Visit FTTOUFO through any search engine or www.fttoufo.com.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Phone lines are open 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Oh, I do like that jazzy kind of opening. That's my kind of music. Jazzy kind of opening. I like that. And we're back with Craig R. Lang. And Craig is helping us through the phenomenon of UFOs. He is a hypnotherapist, as best you can. And it is a deep, dark world, Craig. There are no guarantees, and there is no roadmap to this. So I have to say that in your book, there is one passage that just shivered my timbers, as I like to say. It said, "No doubt I am simply one of many who are part of this endeavor. However, yeah, it is my firm belief that for the better or worse, contact is beginning to expand and deepen."
Yeah, that's very much, that's very, very deep, a very deep impression of mine.
Yeah. So what do you think with the coming of Nibiru, 2012, or Planet X, or the Anunnaki, or whatever you wish to call them, supposedly heading this way, with all of this accumulating around about this time span, do you think it is now that there would be, if there is going to be, there would be an overt alien contact? Do you think now is the time?
I would really hesitate to predict a time when there would be an overt contact. For one thing, I just got done reading, somebody wrote a rather scathing letter to me about, I had written a little article on Blossom Goodchild about, a couple months ago, saying, kind of talking about the deceptiveness of the phenomenon. And some guy wrote a rather scathing article about that, basically, about the same thing, predicting when contact would occur. Basically, I think that basically it's almost futile to kind of predict when contact would occur. I think it will occur when we are ready, and only when we're ready, and I don't think that there's really a possibility of predicting that that's the case.
And yeah, I had John Hogue on the show a little while back and last year, and he was explaining the Age of Aquarius, let me just quickly play, it's a one-minute bite. Just good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. No, maybe let's not do that because we have to introduce the show. But he said the new age is not about searching. It's about knowing.
Yeah.
Everything will be known. It will just be a logical progression.
It won't be an immediate event either.
No, I cannot seem to get that immediate event other than the 2012 scenario of December the 21st at midnight, or 10:17 p.m. So, I can't seem to get that definitive answer. Everybody that I do speak to says that it is coming. But the timeline, even Tim McKeyd, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the revelations. And as he said, it says in the Bible that there is no specific time. Only God knows when it will happen.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Whitley Strieber made an interesting comment one time on Dreamland. that always just rung in my mind is that basically the Age of Pisces began with the empty tomb, essentially, in the with an empty tomb in Judea. And only two people knew at that particular moment that the entire world had changed. And I don't know if you're Christian or not, but that's, you know, kind of the core of the Christian belief is basically the resurrection, basically. And when that at that particular instant, the consciousness of the world changed entirely, and yet there were only two people in the world that actually knew what had happened.
Yeah.
So one thing that I offer is that what if at that time, and you know, at 12/21/2012, at the actual moment of the winter solstice, what if absolutely nothing happens at that particular instant, yet at that time everything changes?
Yeah. Well, everything would change because there are people making a fortune in the paranormal business.
Yeah.
That are counting on something happening.
Yeah.
Because come 2000 and the day after on December the 22nd, 2012, they're going to look pretty foolish.
Yeah, I always joke that my wedding anniversary is on 12/12/2012, and so that's. That's going to be really interesting.
And how many years would that be?
25.
That would be 25 years. In
2000. Yeah, 25 years. On 12/12/2012.
If it is real, Craig, it's a good way to finish. That's the way I.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Yeah. But
so,
looking at the paranormal side of what you do, do you get much paranormal information regarding ancestors or the likes when people do hypnotherapy?
I get a lot of times where I keep going back earlier. I keep going back, you know. What I do is I go back to what's called earlier similar experiences. It's a very classic technique in hypnotherapy where we chain back, you know, from one experience to an earlier one, to an earlier one, to an earlier one. A lot of times we get back to birth and we just keep going. And turns out people were an experiencer in, again, you have to, you know, check your own beliefs at the door when you begin to work on this stuff.
Right.
But you keep on going backwards and backwards and backwards until all of a sudden until you get back to birth, and then you just keep going. And
yeah.
I've had more than one person say that they've gone into the inner life and they realize that they were part of an effort that involved being an experiencer in this lifetime. And
well,
more than one person has said that they were an extraterrestrial in more than one incarnation.
Right. This has always been my thought and consideration. Maybe it falls along the Buddha lines. I'm not sure, but I believe that our soul travels through this earth many times until we get those answered.
Yeah.
And when we are ready to move on, then we're ready to move on. But given that, I also think that I find it humorous when a Hollywood celebrity suddenly has a flashback to a previous life, and they're Cleopatra.
Yeah.
Now,
well, there's a heck of a lot of Cleopatras and Napoleons running around.
Yeah, but why wasn't she Molly the scrubbing maid? I just don't get that.
It's really interesting when you get someone like that that actually is a, you know, they were a slave in,
yeah,
you know, they were a slave in Rome or something like that. You get a lot of these very mundane type things, you know, and you can't completely discount that there's a bona fide process going on there when someone actually does go back. And I don't know if they were literally Napoleon or Cleopatra, but there's probably some kind of a tapping in of consciousness in some way that occurs there, and so in maybe they were in some way.
Almost a spiritual possession, possibly?
Yeah, that's maybe a little bit too strong, but the basic idea is probably similar in that it's probably more of a linkage than a tapping into than a possession, per se.
Yeah. I just find it humorous that a great Hollywood star would be Cleopatra instead of Molly the scrubbing maid.
Yeah,
and
well,
that always seems to be the way it is. Whenever Whenever I call,
but look here,
you know, it's because the guy is Napoleon, or he's the reincarnation of Martin Luther King Jr. or Lincoln. This is the latest one, is I heard that Barack Obama is actually tapping into the spirit of Lincoln.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's not happening. I can't, you know, I would tend to be pretty discerning about that, but, you know, I certainly couldn't be the one to tell you that that's not happening.
Yeah, I would be very, very concerned if our ancestors were giving advice about the future, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
because we've seen where we are today because of it, so, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people, or there's been more than one article I've read anyway about people looking at the synchronicities between Lincoln and Kennedy, and now Obama tends to feed right into that, which is kind of ominous in itself, but still at the same time, I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
So do you think that the universal energies that, again, I hope to be doing a show on this real soon, but do you think the universal energies are a real phenomenon also that is part of this whole gambit? Why either we're being visited, maybe we're giving an energy out there that they require that they don't have elsewhere?
I don't know. I don't think that we have something that they need, but I don't think that's it. My thought is that we probably have sort of a sense of adventure, sense of, you know, we tend to be, you know, the party animals and the warriors of the world or of the universe in a way. And in a sense, that's probably a valued commodity. When you look at people describing what goes on in the visitor realm, it's a pretty boring place. It's a pretty featureless, pretty much of a stifling place. And one of the things that I do hear is that the realm of the visitors is a very sterile world. And so in that sense, the idea that they need that life from us is probably a very legitimate one. I don't know if you could take it as literally as they need our DNA or something like that, but they probably need something that we have, kind of that sort of that joie de vivre that we have, that it doesn't seem to be real common.
Do you think they're taking our mojo?
Define mojo. I don't know.
And we do seem to have something that they want, whatever that is, Craig.
We are adventurers.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out there regardless of whether they succeed or not. And, you know, I tend to be one of the people who believe that our destiny is in the stars. So,
I think it is too, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
we're going to go there. We're going to go there regardless of whether they want us there or not.
Right.
And if we go there, you know, as part of the cosmic community and get welcomed by them, it's going to be a good thing. If it doesn't, if we just go there kind of armed with phasers and proton torpedoes, then it's going to be a bad thing. So
we are
the adventurers in a way of the universe.
And they're realizing that they should get to know us now, because they're going to have to deal with us later. Is that basically it?
That's probably one of the reasons. This is pure speculation, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
That one of the reasons behind the abduction phenomenon, the hybridization problem or phenomenon, is that my suspicion is that they're trying to bring in some of that essence into mix us with them in a way, primarily for a more to civilize us than to infuse them. But it seems
so that
to me,
that would fall that would fall in line then with the story of the Anunnaki, who descended their sons of the Anunnaki down to breed with the woman of Earth to formulate a different race. That's getting pretty spooky.
Yeah, it's if that's the case, then that experiment is by no means done.
No.
Yeah, I'm not that much of a Sitchin fan. I don't really know that much about Sitchin. I haven't followed his work too much, but from what I know of Nibiru and all that stuff, and admittedly that's pretty little, but the idea of having another planet out there that's rapidly barreling toward Earth, I tend to be pretty skeptical of that. But at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. At the same time, I've been doing this now for over a year, and I got to tell you, the more I've learned, the more convinced I am that something is happening. What it is, I'm not sure. I'm genuinely not sure. But I was concerned when I read a piece in the news. I believe it went out Sunday about an asteroid, a comet, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
That came between the sun and the Earth, 44,000 miles above the Earth, flew by.
It was flying by as we speak.
Yeah, and it's flying. It's going by right now. And
can you feel the wind in your hair, kind of as it passes?
Just about, you know. But it's freaky that they only had 72 hours notice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So. Is there something out there that we can't explain? Are these gravity changes in the universe natural, or is there something out there that's not registering? But I agree with you. I am very skeptical of the timing. But the more I read about the Bible prophecy and Hoag prophecy and Nostradamus and Planet X and on, it all tends to fit like a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm going to put this out to your listeners, and things like that. I'm kind of a 2012 junkie right now. I just finished writing a novel on abduction, kind of fictional, based on stuff I wrote in Bridge, but it's called The Fifth Key. It's about the story of two experiencers kind of caught up in this interplanetary chess game between. Basically, the Pleiadians and the Reptilians are the two races that I use in there.
Right.
And again, use your own discernment as to whether you know what you believe and all that stuff. But it makes for really good sci-fi. And so basically, that's the first in a series of several novels that I'm eventually writing, kind of culminating in 2012. And so I've gotten to be kind of a 2012 junkie in the last little while. And
well,
so
this last year has done that for me too. So go ahead,
Craig.
Sorry.
But anyway, one of the things I've been wondering, the same conversation we were having a few moments ago, is what exactly would 2012 or will 2012 be like? Is there going to be some big, fiasco, or is there some kind of or will nothing happen whatsoever? It's like I'm trying to discern. Trying to get a feel for what people think is going to actually occur, and I get such tremendous ambiguity coming back on that it's really interesting.
It is difficult to accept the date.
Yeah.
That is where I'm having the biggest problem. Yes, the Mayan calendar ends on that date, but we in the West have messed with our calendar so much, I don't think we have a clue of what the real date is, according to the Mayan calendar, according to the Egyptian calendar, Roman calendar, Julian calendar.
Yeah.
The Chinese run by a different calendar. The Muslims run by a different calendar.
Yeah.
So we're not sure which is the true calendar they're talking about. That's where I have problems.
My understanding is it's pretty well established when the wheels come together on the Mayan calendar. My understanding is that's pretty well understood. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
Understood under their calendar.
Yeah, I mean basically the time when that's going to happen. Now when that what that actually comes out to be in our dates and if there's any kind of synchronicity with our own calendar, that's probably pretty well masked. But the, you know, when that actually will occur is pretty well understood, you know, by just by math, by the mathematics. And it, my understanding, just from, and again, I'm not real, I'm not an expert by any means on this, but that it, excuse me, that it seems to correspond with a lot of astrology and other, you know, like a lot of the Babylonian astrology, for example, they're very close correspondence.
Very, very much so. And there is a lot of correlation between, you know, different people that would have had no contact with each other at the time.
Right.
So,
right.
There are those questions. My concern is when we say December the 21st, 2012,
yeah.
Are we setting ourselves up with universal consciousness?
Yeah, right.
To make, you know, that is my concern, is that,
yeah.
You know, if you were slapped on the back of the head every day and told that it was 1 o'clock when you knew it was 10 o'clock,
right? Yeah.
After a couple of months, you'd be agreeing that it was 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you know, especially you get waterboarded every night and told.
Yeah, exactly.
O'clock.
You know, like, you know, I mean, which way do you do it? And
yeah, right.
our society has done that in a different kind of way, either through religious teachings, which you know, is questionable as to whether much of it was the word of God or if it's mm-hmm. just the edict of some crazy holy man.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
You know,
very
so it's so difficult to, as you say, to pin it down and be able
yeah.
to be comfortable with a set of events.
Yeah. Well, let me just kind of, you know, we got about 5 minutes, 5 minutes till the end of the show, I believe. But give a kind of a summary of kind of my approach to this, if you will.
Sure.
Is that what I generally try and approach is as a healer first, is that right. basically when someone walks in, you know, walks into my studio to do hypnosis work, basically the first priority is to be a healer. And usually healing involves knowledge and insight, so basically that's where that comes out of it. But primarily the first thing we need to do is deal with the fear. And you read in Bridge, where I have a whole chapter basically on that, where I basically talk about managing the fear.
Right.
And then the next step is then we look at the biography of what happened, kind of what can we learn about once we've dealt with the fear, what can we learn about it, what happened, and what lessons can we draw from it. And finally we look at that is what's the final lesson that we can learn from this. Why is this happening to this particular experiencer, and what's the lesson that that experiencer needs to draw from this?
Right.
Yeah, so that's basically... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Unfortunately, Craig, we're jumping out of time here, so...
Yeah, right.
I'm going to finish. I apologize, sir.
No problem.
CraigRLang.com or thecosmicbridge.com. We can find you at both of those, can we, sir?
And if you've had some experiences that you want to, you know, go through that, what was the website, FTTUFO?
FTTOUFO.com.
Or go to MUFON.com, and basically I donate my time a lot to MUFON and to ICAR, and probably I want to check out FTTOUFO. I wasn't really familiar with them much. So I'd love to check out those guys more. So that sounds really neat.
Fabulous. Thank you very, very much for coming, Craig, and we will talk to you again, sir. We appreciate
sure,
your
I'd
time.
Sure, I'd love to. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
God bless you. You take care of yourself. And that's it. That's all. Another edition of The Night Zone.